Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is the point of Christmas? I mean, what's the big deal? Well, if you ask different people, they might come up with different answers. What's the point of Christmas for a child? Presents. Gifts, right? We all know that's what they want. They want toys. Why? Well, of course, for their own sake, because they like toys, but also because they want a sign from their parents of their parents' love. Perhaps if you're slightly more mature than a child, you might think that gifts are not important in and of themselves, but what's the most important thing, what is the point of Christmas for you, might be spending time with family and friends. And still, there are others who might even think more broadly, right? It's good to have time to celebrate because it kind of infects every different area of our life. There is peace and joy and brotherhood in a world that is afflicted by pain and conflict. But is that it? Is that all that Christmas is? Is Christmas just a short season to share gifts and food with family and friends, or for a time of nations to speak of peace for 1 month out of the year, or maybe even worse, just a few short weeks? We know that Christmas must mean more than that. And so for tonight, we turn to Titus chapter 2. And this text doesn't even specifically mention the birth of Jesus, but rather it tells us what the birth brings. It tells us what the actual point of Christmas is, what it instills upon the Christians. The text begins with these words. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. The grace of God has appeared. And what is that grace? Well, it's not just the birth of Jesus. It's the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh in Christ Jesus. And that includes not just his birth, but it includes his entire life. It includes his suffering and death on the cross. It includes his glorious resurrection from the tomb, his ascension into heaven. This is the source of joy. These things are the source of peace and goodwill for those who believe in Christ. That's what Christmas is about at its deepest level. Because it finds joy in the whole story. Now, as we cling to this message, we know that it has a purpose. It's not just that this glory of God has appeared, that we have this grace of God now in the world, but there's more. There's more than just a holly jolly Christmas spirit. There's training, as our text says, training to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It means that we don't live just with hope and peace and joy and Christmas baby Jesus for December. It doesn't matter if it's December or if it's March or if it's June or if it's October. It doesn't matter whether you are young or you are middle-aged or you are old. It doesn't matter if this is the best year of your life or if it's the worst year of your life. Jesus is born into the world to be more than a baby, but a Savior. That's joy. Because it's not for a day, it's not for a moment, it's not for a season, it's not even for a decade of our life, it's for eternity. And what could be greater than eternity? If we think about it in worldly terms, you know, there are several examples we could bring up. Think of a prisoner. There are two different prisoners who are incarcerated right now. There is the prisoner who has a life sentence, no chance of getting out ever. No hope. Do you really expect them to follow the rules? Well, of course not. But the prisoner who knows he can get out on good behavior, well, certainly he's going to do everything he can to make sure that nothing goes awry and he actually makes it to a point where he can be free. Or consequently, if you're the prisoner with no hope, maybe don't break all the rules. Maybe you just descend into this despair and you only do what's required of you and nothing more. If you're a student who's looking forward to Christmas break, well, you might have that kind of extra effort. Well, I just got to make it through this part of school, and then I'll get a break. And so you buckle down, and you study, and you work towards good grades. Or maybe if, you know, Christmas vacation isn't enough for you to do that, maybe it's the hope of graduating. But you know that there's hope. You know that it's all for a purpose. You know, being a relatively young man, I think about retirement occasionally, and I know it's a long way off. But that's the thing. We all know if you work hard, if you save your money, if you endure the daily grind, one day you might obtain a day when that work comes to an end, when life can be enjoyed without all the stressors of a career. But we're not looking at prisoners or students or people hoping for retirement. We're Christians. We're those who believe in Jesus Christ, who rejoice in the virgin birth. We have a hope that surpasses anything this world can offer. We hope for eternal life. We hope for something that's going to last forever. And the truth is that because we have this hope, it leads us to fulfill our vocations. It leads us to do the things that our text says, to put behind worldly passions, to live self-controlled and upright and godly lives now, because we have this hope, because we know that one day we are going to be with our Savior. And God's love will be more evident to us then than it ever was in this life. This is the hope of Christmas. This is the gift of Jesus, and it's not for a season. And it's not for a week, and it's not for a day, but it's forever. And so heaven and earth rejoice this night because the glory of the Lord has appeared in a human birth as God has come to live amongst us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God fill you with all hope in believing in this same Jesus. Amen.